Correct, and I was right then.
No, you weren't right at all.
I was
wrong.
Right.
No, what are you talking about? You're in the 06010 Focus. Tennessee, the most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it. Say they can. And I'm very talented, Mr. Oro. Potato. Never win the man's league. Yes, we can. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards all around the world. Let's put it on.
The sun is shining, the people are rejoicing, for I, Matthew Berry, have returned.
Really? You think that's the reaction?
Yeah.
What gave you that impression?
Is the sun not shining today?
Well, it's a little cold, but the sun's out.
Were the villagers not rejoicing today?
I saw no rejoicing villagers. I saw villagers, they seem apoplectic, to be honest. If I was going to give them an adjective.
We have an email here from our old friend Anthony in Kingston, Pennsylvania.
Right.
It says, list of activities Nate was doing while on his break. And then he says, very funny, Jay. I don't know. Did Jay request this? Or is he saying, these are very funny, Jay? So read them. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Yeah, stop with the, you know, I mentioned this.
Is this a new thing? People are doing these in their emails?
Well, like, yeah, they're like.
Really interesting question, Jay.
Right. They reference Jay. They tell him. and then what they'll do is, a lot of times, is they'll say, insert drop here. They'll tell Jay where to put a drop. It's like ridiculous.
Right, right.
Stop with that, people.
All right. Well, he says, well, look who decided to actually come into work today. Here are three activities that Nate was doing on his break to pass the time. Number one, rode around a flowered meadow on his high horse, listening to the recording of the TMR pod duet of Wanted Dead or Alive. Those people are idiots. All right, so you guys told me about this morning. So what was that? Me being shot off my high horse?
Yeah, well, basically, I don't know if you remember this, but last Monday's podcast,
yeah,
you basically called myself and every one of our listeners complete idiots.
Yep.
For concern, for even wondering about Kevin Gregg. You insisted Jason Fraser was the closer in Toronto that everyone in Toronto, and the fact that Kevin Gregg had gotten his second save was no cause for anyone to think about it at all.
Correct, and I was right then.
No, you weren't right at all.
I was right.
No, what are you talking about? Kevin Gregg got named the official closer like 2 days later.
He got named the official closer after Jason Fraser blew two saves, which had not been the case at that point.
He had blown one save at that point.
Right, and how many has he blown now?
He blew one more. I cannot believe you're insisting that you're actually still right on that one. You were dead wrong.
Was the question being asked,
whether people should be concerned about the fact that Kevin Gregg had snuck in another save chance.
And the answer to that was no.
Jason Fraser had pitched 3 days in a row. Gregg came in, got a save. That was fine. Not a big deal. We understood he'd pitched 3 days in a row. But then Fraser pitched a day, and then Gregg pitched a day. Yeah. It was like just one day. And so all of a sudden, people were like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Fraser and Gregg seem to be splitting saves. Do we think Gregg could be in the closer mix? I bring this up. A lot of people on that follow me on Twitter were asking about this. And you got really upset, talked about how everyone was an idiot.
Well, you can play that one, too. I was right then, and I'm still right.
No,
I was
you
not coming
aren't.
Off this. Not coming off this. Did Kevin Gregg take over the closer job? Yes. Was that a possibility coming into the year? Yes. Did the fact that he had gotten a save the day before have any part in that whatsoever? No, it did not.
How could it not, Nate? How could that not?
Fraser wasn't available. He was not available. This happens all the time. So there you go. You're not getting me. You can shoot me off the high horse as much as you want. I'm not coming off this one.
This is the most insane you've ever been.
Those people are idiots.
This is the most insane myopic ever been.
Do you want to hear Anthony from Kingston's other two things I was doing?
I guess so. Who cares? I'll tell you what you were doing. You were in an insane asylum, convincing yourself that you were actually right.
No, I was right. Knitted an I Love Derek Ward blanket. And three, research the ways of the weasel to further gain understanding about his answers.
Nature a weasel. Nature a weasel.
You are a weasel. The fact that you won't cop to being wrong on Kevin Gregg is insane. We have the audio. Jay, you're going to have to pull that again.
The audio just says me calling the people idiots, and they were
for
idiots.
Even being concerned about Kevin Gregg, you were like, Jason Fraser is clearly the closer in Toronto. 2 days later, no, he wasn't.
Well.
And nothing happened.
I didn't say he was going to be the closer 2 days after that.
Oh, for the love of God. People were concerned about Kevin Gregg. Yeah, you know what? The correct answer was yeah.
You ought to
be concerned about Kevin Gregg.
Sure, but not because of what had just happened.
That absolutely had something to do with it.
No, it
Kevin Gregg in and was a, Kevin Gregg came in and was effective. Closed out the game. When he got a save opportunity, he closed out the game. He did it every single time until he was named the, quote, official closer. Yeah, you should have been concerned if you were
you
Jason
can,
Frazier.
You
owner.
Can feel free to continue this line as long as you want. You're not changing my mind here. How many saves do you think Kevin Gregg gets this year?
Tristan and I talked about this, and we believe neither him nor Frazier gets over 25. We believe both Frazier and Gregg finish between somewhere between 15 and 25. Both guys wind
both
up.
Both guys get at least 10, and neither gets at least 25.
Correct.
I'll buy that. All right, Matthew, what will likely end up being the big news of the day, the Mets last night, well, the non-NFL big news of the day, let's just say that, last night designated Mike Jacobs for assignment. Speculation, and more than speculation, ESPNNewYork.com is reporting that the Mets are likely to call up Ike Davis. Later today.
Yeah.
First base prospect, had a great spring.
Yeah.
You asked me to look up his minor league numbers, which I'm going to do right now for you.
I think he was hitting 357 this year in early time. That's off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't matter. But so last year at AA, I mean, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's a continuation of him playing well in the spring, but it was only 10 games. Last year at AA, or he spent half the year at single A, hit 288 with 7 homers and 255 at-bats. The second half of the year, 309 with 13 homers and 203 at 33 at bats. So the power seemed to pick up as the season went along. We had bids due last night in Tout Wars.
Right.
I bid $43 on them, I think. I have yet to hear if I got them.
Mm.
Now it's Vickery, it's the Vickery system. So if the second highest bid was 23, I'll get them for 24.
Correct. Or you may have gotten them. You know, it's,
and I could use an extra bat on that team. A little bit weak there.
Right.
What do you think of that bit?
Listen, in leagues like that, in deep NL or AL-only leagues where so little talent comes into the league.
Right.
And here's a guy that most like, that has skills and is going to get every opportunity, I believe. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth a gamble. He may be overmatched. He's still fairly young.
Right.
And Jerry Manuel is crazy. He is. He's a crazy manager.
Okay.
He's that St. Louis, like, I don't know who you follow on Twitter, but, you know, I follow a ton of, like, baseball writers on Twitter and stuff like that. Really smart.
I really don't follow very many.
And
I follow you, though.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I pretty much have to.
As Matthew Berry at TMR.
It's pretty much a job requirement.
Right. Understood. And
you're the only one I follow that I would, that if I quit ESPN tomorrow, I would stop following.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. The rest you follow for pleasure.
I do. In matter of fact.
You're not following me?
What's that? I do not follow you.
No. Oh.
I don't believe there's any sort of job requirement there.
No, probably not.
Right.
So, if Matthew gets himself into trouble on Twitter, it can actually get me, at least, at the very least, create a lot of work for me. If you get yourself into trouble on Twitter, it probably ends up creating less work for me in a roundabout way.
Creates a lot of work for the Empress Alex Roman.
Exactly.
If
Todd
Bader gets himself in trouble on Twitter.
Exactly.
All that said, yeah, I don't have an issue with the bid, because especially if you need a bat, I don't know that there's going to be a guy that comes up anytime in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, the other guy would, first of all, he's got a chance to hit his way into the full-time job.
Right.
I mean, Daniel Murphy will be back in a couple of weeks. But if Davis is really hitting with the way this team's going, there's no way they're taking him out of the job.
Correct.
Probably the other guys that I think, as far as hitters that could come up, would be Justin Smoke in Texas, especially if your boy Chris Davis continues to be terrible.
I believe he's Jason Gray's boy.
And Pedro Alvarez, who sooner or later,
Pirates will call up.
Sooner or later, Jeff Clement's not gonna have a job. I mean, there's only two certainties in MLB this season. Jeff Clement's not going to have a job sooner or later, and Brandon Wood's not going to have a job sooner or later.
Yeah, Brandon Wood's been terrible. He's just been brutal.
The advantage Wood has is the Angels don't necessarily have alternatives. The Pirates have a lot of alternatives.
The Pirates do. I mean, Mysurus Turris would be the guy there at third base.
Yeah, they could do that.
I believe.
All right, Matthew. So moving on. Alex Gordon actually returned this weekend.
Correct.
And
Chris Getz goes on the DL, which means your boy Alberto Callaspo moves to second base.
Well, Caspo moved to, I mean, I guess we,
I
you and I could debate
split.
This.
I think they would have split time.
I think you're crazy. With the way Caspo's off to, with the season he had last year, the start he's off to this year, I don't understand how you think that this wouldn't be the case anyway.
I think the Royals are crazy.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a moot point because Caspo's going to play second base every day with Getz now on the disabled list. Yes, Alex Gordon is back if he's available in your league.
I mean, to me, Alex Gordon's barely a step ahead of the Annie LaRoches of the world right now.
I agree. I'm not an Alex Gordon.
I'd rather have Ty Wigginton.
Yeah, listen, Ty Wigginton's hitting the cover off the ball. And listen, you know, you speak about guys not performing. Like, Baltimore needs offense. You know, that's a bad team. Now, it's been issues in their bullpen that really let them down, but whatever. They need as many offensive bats as they can. Now, Tejada's banged up, so I think you'll see Wigginton at third some. Obviously, Brian Roberts is on the DL. And by the way, there's no guarantee that once Roberts and Tejada's back, there's no guarantee that Garrett Atkins keeps his gig. And they don't put Wigginton at first, especially if he continues to hit the way he is.
Yeah. You know, small sample sizes being what they are, Matthew.
Right.
There's only one guy on the Orioles hitting above 290 so far this season. It's Felix Pea, who just went on the DL.
Right. No, it's a bad team.
By way of comparison, the Kansas City Royals have seven guys hitting above 290 so far
right.
this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right. Obviously, it's all very very.
They've been terrible so far.
But yeah.
Lance Berkman expected back in the Astros lineup on Tuesday, Matthew.
I have him in a couple of leagues. I'm happy about this.
You think he'll be fine?
I do.
All right, fair enough.
No, and he was actually quoted as saying, you know, an article I think that came out yesterday, something like to the effect of like where they're like, well, you're going to ease back in, and Berkman was like, no, I'm coming in on Tuesday and I'm coming out at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, what does that mean? Ease back in? Like he was going to play a game and then take?
Yeah,
off
like just like kind of ease back in and like maybe not play a day game after a night game, that sort of thing. And
right.
Hey, look, obviously it's going to depend on his body, but I like the attitude of Lance Berkman, which was like, no, I'm coming in on Tuesday and I'm not leaving till the end of the year.
Speaking of the Astros, Matthew.
Yes.
Matt Lindstrom gets a save yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now has 8 strikeouts and no walks this year.
He's money. He's crazy.
How much do you believe in Matt Lindstrom?
I believe a little bit. I'll tell you this much. Okay. Brandon Lyon's been terrible.
Okay.
That's the other thing.
Can we play a little name game?
Why not?
A newly sober Miguel Cabrera.
Speaking of another guy that's just sort of like always underrated.
Philanthropic Frank.
God help me, I really like Eric Bedard.
Clearly, I'm going the opposite way.
I have no problem with Lincecum.
Serena Williams or Kanye West.
We enjoy the nonsense.
Mark Teixeira stinks every April.
Nothing sexy about Orlando Cabrera.
I don't really care either way.
You can wrap up at any point.
We have a... I'm impressed, by the way, that you remember that we do name games.
Oh, yeah?
It's been so long since you've been here.
Yeah, it really is. So of closers that were suspect coming into the year.
Okay.
Matt Lidstrom or Octavio Dotel? Who would you rather have from this point forward?
Lindstrom.
I agree with you. Matt Lindstrom or Matt Capps?
Matt Capps.
Matt Lindstrom or Ryan Madsen?
Lindstrom. I think supposedly Lidge is looking good in his rehab start. I mean, Madsen's been fine, but I think they give Lidge a shot at this. So I'd say Lindstrom.
And Matt Lindstrom or your boy Kevin Gregg?
Lindstrom.
Yeah.
Lindstrom, because I think...
You think he keeps the job?
I think Lindstrom keeps the job.
Do you think Lindstrom gets more than 25 saves this year?
Well, I don't think the Astros are blowing a lot of guys out, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I think the Astros will be better than they have been. Getting Berkman back helped.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, Carlos Lee has never hit lower than 300 in his career as an Astro. He's not going to continue to hit 90 or whatever it is he's hitting now. Yes.
Fair enough. Matthew, Aaron Rowan goes on the 15-day DL with a mild concussion, 2 small fractures in his left cheek. Eugenio Velez has started the last 2 games in center field.
A little bit of speed.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that I think he's got something like 550 career at-bats in the majors and like 25 steals in that span. That's off the top of my head. You know, and he may not play every game, but with DeRosa also hurt, he'll probably play pretty much every game, at least this week. Interesting pickup, I think, for deeper leagues.
I think so, too.
Deeper mixed leagues. Yes. He's clearly owned in NL-only leagues.
Right, of course.
The Cubs are changing their lineup and going to move Marlon Byrd to the leadoff spot. Do you care?
Not really.
I don't. On the other hand, the Rangers yesterday moved Elvis Andrus to the top of the order, Julio Bourbon to ninth. Do you care about this one?
Just because I think it might help get some pressure off Bourbon, who is a guy that I really like. Stefania and I talked about him on Friday a little bit, and You know, I still believe in Bourbon, but obviously it's been a real struggle for him so far.
Yeah, and I care about it because for Andrus, I mean, this is a guy that played, what did he play, 130 games last year? Something played 145 games last year and only got 520 or so plate appearances. Normally, you play 145 games, you're more like 600.
Right.
And it's because he batted ninth pretty much the entire year. So, you know, from this point on, batting first versus batting eighth is probably worth about 60, 70 plate appearances for him, which, you know, whatever, is worth 10 runs and 10 steals, and,
yeah.
or not 10, you know, 10 runs and 5 steals, whatever
right.
it is.
I'm with you.
So it's definitely a positive for Andrus, who's also off to a little bit of a slow start. I mean, the batting average has been there, only one steal so far, though.
Right.
Are you worried about John Lester?
I am not.
He had a bad April last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had a bad April last year. Turned out fine.
Fair enough. If you need a starting pitcher, who do you like better, Ricky Romero or Irvin Santana?
Santana because of the strikeouts. Romero has been fantastic, but, you know, Romero is so much of a, is such a control guy that it's just one of those things. It's like, I don't know that he, and I mean, I know Romero had a crazy strikeout game with the almost no hitter, but I expect Santana to finish the year with more strikeouts.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. I mean, it's not exactly a fair comparison. Romero is available in only 36% of leagues. Santana, 86. So
right.
you're much more likely to be able to pick up Santana.
Right.
And, of course, Romero has not yet faced the Yankees or the Red Sox. And I'm not even sure. Has he faced the Rays? He's not faced the Yankees, Red Sox, or Rays yet. Although he did have a start at Texas, so he hasn't exactly been coddled so
right.
far.
I like Romero. Tristan and I talked about him last week. I like Romero, but I believe in Santana.
Not,
that may be my Halo homerism coming through, but I believe in Santana.
Not in the category of either one of those guys, but still interesting. Nate Robertson moves to 2-0 yesterday.
Looked good, getting a lot of first-pitch strikes. And, you know, he's pitched well since coming over to the National League. I mean, maybe that's just they don't have a book on him. I don't know. But, you know, listen.
He had a nice spring.
He did have a nice spring. And, listen, that's an impressive thing, going into Philadelphia and shutting down the Phillies at Philly.
Yeah.
You know, that's not beating up on the Nationals.
And it's not like he never had success in the American League. He did a few years ago, and then,
right.
you know, he's in Coors Field, this week. Now, it's, you know, Coors ain't Coors anymore, but I'm probably still not starting him.
No.
But after that, the schedule's very favorable. He's got nothing but home starts and, like, maybe at Washington or, like, at the Cubs for the next, like,
yeah.
month.
Yeah.
So,
I think he's a really interesting guy. Now, here's a question for you.
Okay.
You buying little LeVarn Hernandez? Not an earned run this year.
I am not.
I know. I can't. And I was trying to think of, like, how many scoreless innings would LeVon Hernandez have to throw before I said, okay, I'm buying.
Yeah.
What's that number for you?
How many more what?
He's got 16
how many
scoreless
more innings.
40?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd say
like,
two more. No, I'll say two more starts.
Right. Yeah.
If you had two more starts without allowing an earned run, I would just say he's made a deal with the devil.
Right.
And we're going to ride this as long as it goes.
Dame out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find it a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
By the way, I'm surprised that you didn't get all excited about and start beating your chest about Franklin Morales blowing his second save, your boyfriend.
I don't do that sort of thing.
Interesting.
I'm not a chest beater.
Not true at all, by the way.
No. Not a chest beater. Mm. Daniel says, closer carousel.
There
a few weeks ago, Nate and Jason Gray answered my question about Mike Gonzalez. I wanted to know who the next guy was after hearing that he'd lost his velocity. At the time, both Jason and Nate said that Cam Acolio is the guy that owes or groomed to be their closer. That's absolutely not true. I never said anything remotely of the sort, because I'll be honest, I don't know anything about Cam Acolio.
Right.
I believe Jason did say that, and I believe them, but whatever. Both Jason and Nate dismissed Jim Johnson as a crappy pitcher who will get skipped over this year. That's probably true.
By the way, he is a crappy pitcher. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he's got the job right now.
Right. I own him in Tout Wars and AL Tout Wars, and I own him in my AL-only hometown league.
Yep.
But he's a crappy pitcher.
He says, should I add McColio? Who gets more saves this year, Jim Johnson or Killer Cam? Well, I think it's Jim Johnson.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I don't know. It was, if he hadn't nailed down the one yesterday, I might say McColio. Who's the guy next in line? I mean, Yahara's still on the DL, and I suspect they'll want to get, Gonzalez the gig. I've said this last week with Tristan, that I believe that the Oriole pitcher with the most saves at the end of the year is Mike Gonzalez. I still believe
that. I think you're probably right. I also think no Orioles reliever gets 25 saves, and I doubt any of them gets even 20, but I think somebody might get, like, right at 20.
Yeah, possibly.
Nick from Monroe, North Carolina says, dear Fantasy Chimps, I took your advice and loaded up early on outfielders, getting my wazoo to the breaking point.
Nice.
The subject line says, did I overdo my wazoo? He got Justin Upton, Adam Lind, Nick Markakis, Jason Kubel, Chris Coughlin, and Ryan Ludwig. I fear I waited too long at catcher and shortstop. Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to draft strategy, Matthew. Justin mm-hmm. Upton was probably a second-round pick, assuming this was like a 10-team mixed mm-hmm. league. Adam Lind was probably a fourth-rounder, Markakis a fifth-rounder. If you get those three, I don't know that you need to go get Jason Kubel as high as you need to get him, and you certainly don't need to get Chris Coughlin as high as he went this year.
No, I totally
agree. I ended up with Mike Napoli without a backup. Well, you can hardly be blamed for that.
Right.
Yunel Escobar, and Evert Cabrera at shortstop. Yunel Escobar's fine.
Yeah.
He says, do I need
Cabrera,
to pull...
by the way, has got like three steals.
He says, do I need to pull something out of my wazoo to trade or just stand pat?
I think Yunel Escobar is fine. I think I would look at the catcher waiver wire and see what else is there. Napoli started to complain in the press about his playing time, so we'll see how that plays out. The problem is that obviously Mathis is the better defensive catcher, and by the way, Mathis is actually hitting this year.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
As long as Mathis is hitting, this is going to continue to be a problem for Napoli. I just don't think he'll be hitting all that long.
No, because he's not a good hitter, but, at the moment he's, yeah.
Ramon in Los Angeles says, I know we aren't supposed to start panicking until June, but what about less proven players like Chris Coughlin? Is he droppable now?
In a 10-team mixed league, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably a fringe own guy in that kind of league anyway, right?
Right, exactly.
In a deeper mixed league, you're not panicking yet.
Correct.
Let's see here. Taylor says, John Lester and Gavin Floyd have me in last place right now and ready to jump off the bridge. Do I drop Floyd for a middle reliever like Sean Marshall or just stash him to see if he rebounds?
I think you stash him. I mean, he's not going to pitch that. I mean, you know, it was just a brutal start, one of those, you know, one-inning pitch that
Listen,
run. Kind
he
of
says, thing. I also have Kershaw and Hanson, along with some unprovens, Jamie Garcia, Colby Lewis. Well, Jamie Garcia has been great for you so far.
Yeah, exactly. And Lewis has been solid.
I think with Lester, Hanson, and Kershaw, you're going to be fine.
Yes, I agree.
Floyd, I don't think you panic on him yet, but I was never a huge Floyd guy to begin with, so...
I liked him more than you did. But I agree with you, Nate, that this guy's going to be totally fine with those pitchers.
Now, for Floyd, though, would you sit him down? Or would, I mean, if you believe in him, you'd probably just keep running him out there, right?
Yeah, I think so. I might sit him at his next start. I don't know who he's playing next. I don't know who his next start is at.
Yeah.
So I might watch that. But I think it's one of those things that you just got to sort of ride it out, you know.
Brian in Fargo, North Dakota says, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. That was a catchphrase of... a friend of the podcast, Jesse Ventura, way back in the day. He says, dear Fantasy...
Nature Weasel.
That's right, Jesse Ventura. Very true. And Jesse Ventura, by the way, he's so in tune, he was able to come up with that before you tried to weasel out of your Kevin Gregg nonsense.
He says, Brian in Fargo says, I've grown tired of Colby Rasmus, need some help in the outfield. Could you play a name game with the following? Chase Headley or Andrew Jones?
Headley.
I agree. Headley or Jeff Francoeur?
Headley.
I think it's Frank Hoare, but it's very close. Headley or Delman Young?
I have this weird feeling that Delman Young's going to have a big year. I'm going to say Delman Young.
Okay. He's off to a nice start.
Yeah. I have this weird feeling on Delman Young.
It's weird. These days, right, you can say a guy's off to a nice start because you looked at the box score and he was hitting 290, and then a day later he's hitting 257. But he does have two homers already this year.
Right.
Which, you know, obviously that's been the big issue for Young, not elevating the ball. Delman Young or Cameron Maben?
I'm going to say Cameron Maben. By the way, Maben, speaking of hot starts, Maben, I think, already has three steals on the season. He's actually hitting for average. Maben's actually looked good. I think Maben might be a post-type sleeper, too.
Yeah, I could see that. I still think there's going to be some batting average problems with him.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I don't think they'll be as bad as they have been in the past.
Matthew, this email apparently has been sitting for a while. You know, I guess the Garrett Jones nickname train never really got going.
Got it, yeah.
But remember, we saw this email and we really liked it.
Oh, right, yes.
This is from Russ and Rob from Phoenix and Minnesota. You don't often get an email from two different people in two different locales.
These are people that coordinated. These are people that work together.
Like they called each other up?
Yeah.
To wear the same outfit?
Something.
So they have three suggestions for Garrett Jones' nickname, but I only think we need to read the one.
Okay.
It is Gud Jones, but he says pronounced like cojones.
Oh.
So it's
the Gud Jones?
Cojones.
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 I like it. I like it. Done. Sold.
So I agree. Garrett Jones. We just need Garrett Jones to come in here and we can like take the sword to either side of his head. You know, kneel before us. Now rise. Kneel, Garrett Jones. Now rise. Cojones. I think that's well done.
Yeah.
Finally, Mike in Clifton, New Jersey. TMR, we know you basically live on Wayrod Island.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when you're jetting over to Jorge De La Rosa Key. But after Saturday's no-hitter, are you going to spend more time on Ubaldo Jimenez Inlet?
I don't think this is a fair question. I don't think this is a fair question at all, because I'll tell you this. I was on Ubaldo Jimenez 2 years ago.
You were.
Like, you know, I've definitely, in my career as a fantasy analyst, I've had some good calls, I've had some bad calls.
Yep.
Ubaldo Jimenez is one of my all-time great calls.
Yep.
I was on him way before anyone else, and this was all, not this preseason, last preseason. I wasn't on him that heavy this preseason because I felt like at this point he was a known quantity.
Well, I mean, this year he was drafted, you know, he was being drafted
about... He was a top 20 pitcher this year.
Yeah, 21st. all right, so, but...
Wandy Rodriguez and Jorge De La Rosa, also pretty good calls of mine.
Let's talk about...
I'm concerned about Wayrod's declining strikeout rate.
Well, let's talk about Jimenez now, Matthew. Okay. After the no-hitter, obviously off to a phenomenal start so far this season. He's 3-0.
Mm-hmm. I've loved Ubaldo.
Let's play a little name game. Let's see if we can get him into the top 10. Is he a top 10 pitcher now?
No. I mean, I think it's close. I think it's close. He's probably top 15.
Would you rather have Ubaldo Jimenez or Chris Carpenter?
Carpenter still.
Even with the,
yeah,
the risk. Ubaldo Jimenez or Johan Santana? Also quietly off to a pretty nice start.
Yeah, I'd still say Johan.
Ubaldo Jimenez or Justin Verlander? Off to a bad start.
I'd say Ubaldo.
Ubaldo or Giovanni Gallardo?
Ubaldo.
I agree with you. I think he's probably in the 10-11 range, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Probably not quite top 10. You're still not putting him ahead of Lincecum, Halliday, Sabathia, King Felix, Heron, Greinke, Wainwright probably.
Right.
Maybe just a couple of other guys. But yeah, he's right there with all those guys.
Is.
Absolutely elite skills. Coors isn't what it used to be. They've got a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Kudos to you, Matthew.
Thank you.
I will say that you've been on Ubaldo Jimenez, whatever that guy called
Inlet.
Inlet Key for a long, long time.
You've
got a timeshare there.
Long time. Huh? I do.
You've got a
I do.
There.
I absolutely have a timeshare there. Now, by the way, now you have a lot of catching up to do, obviously.
I do.
You've been... out.
I mean,
hiding your Kevin Gregg shame.
You've clearly been hearing me coughing throughout this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately not all the way back yet.
Right. But we have two, just so you're up on this.
Okay.
This came up with Tristan. We have two new goals. The two new goals for this podcast.
Okay.
Both involve, of course, our great fantasy focused theme song performed by international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson.
By the way, if we have two new goals for this podcast, that means we have two goals for this podcast, right?
Okay. Right.
Just so we're clear here.
One is that we get some band, any band,
yeah,
to cover the Fantasy Focus 06010 theme song.
Okay.
We want to, now that Eric Hutchinson has created this masterpiece, we want a band to cover it.
Okay.
And then secondly, more importantly.
What kind of band?
Whatever, a band that has a recording kind, not some like bar band, like a real band.
Bon Jovi.
Who?
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi would be good, but you know, I think it'd be
any band.
I think it'd be funny if it was like a real heavy like Megadeth.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Metallica, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know who might actually do it?
Who?
Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I played in a football league with those guys. I sort of know those guys a little bit. And they're big fantasy guys. They're big, huge fantasy players. Actually, Allison Chains might actually do it.
Okay. What's the other goal?
The other goal is to get a Major League Baseball player.
Okay.
To use the Fantasy Focus 0670 theme song as his walk-up music.
Oh!
How great is that?
Very nice. That's a good goal.
Right. We just need one of the...
Do you have the email in there suggesting that Pat Neshek should use it?
I did see that email,
right.
Yeah.
A friend of the podcast, Pat Neshek.
Exactly.
Has he been on the show?
He has.
Like 2 years ago, right, Pod?
He was on when he was rehabbing.
Remember?
Yeah.
I apologize.
You conducted the interview, Nate. I don't even think Matt was in on the interview. I think it was just Nate doing
really?
It.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Wow. We've had so many MLB players that I've apparently started to forget some of them. Well, Pat Neshek, I have heard him interviewed many times. He's a very entertaining guy.
Yeah. No. Good sense of humor and, yeah. So, anyway, those are our two goals now, Nate.
I think we should get... The people that we've given nicknames to, we need to get one of those guys in the show.
No question.
Whether it's the Kraken or Gajones.
Unleash the Kraken!
We're handing out nicknames left and right all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We got to get one of these guys in the show.
Wayrod.
All right, work on that, Pod Vader. All right. We are out of here. We will be back tomorrow. Probably.
We can only hope. Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.